Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Renee. Welcome to Renee's Heart to Heart. I'm glad you could join me tonight. I have our special guest, Izzy Kaplan, will be joining us tonight and answer some more of our questions. I would like to share something with everybody, though, first, and that is the fact that I met with a lady today whose name is Linda, and she is a writer. She's written college books, preparation books, and she's also written some children's books. And the children's books she's written teach kids about our differences. She has characters that she has, come up with, a whale, an octopus. There were several that she told me about today, and they all have things going on with them, and they all come from the water, and she teaches little people about the differences in them and the fact that they get picked on as well. The whale, his spout is under his chin instead of being on his back, and he actually hiccups all the time, so he gets made fun of. So she's created these characters, and she has some made out of fur that she shows to kids, and the idea is to get kids to understand that it happens to everybody, and that it's okay to be different, and that often we even get picked on a little bit by people in our own family. One of the characters is an octopus that wears glasses, and everybody calls her Four Eyes. And one of the people that picks on her the most is her aunt, who also wears glasses. So I fell right in love with her. She is she's right in line with everything we talk about on this show and everything we've discussed since we started doing this a couple months ago. But her arena that she wants to really concentrate on is preschool, 7 or 8 years old, right up into middle school. And I love it because we need somebody there, because that's where things can change before they get headed too far on the wrong path. So she is going to be a part of our show. We're going to organize an opportunity for her to call in. I told her all about the Golden Rule, and she certainly got it immediately, as I knew she would. And she also feels that that will be something that can be taught to these really young kids very quickly. And I told her about my story, about Sammy Starr and how he thought it would be all right. If he made other people look bad, he would look better. And she laughed and she said, that's an affliction we all have. And I said, yes, indeed, it truly is. It's something that we all suffer from. If we're afraid that we're not performing at our very best, we have a tendency to point our fingers at other people and say, oh, look at her, she's not quite up to par, she can't quite do this, so she's doing a terrible job, so that we can take the attention away from ourselves. And if you've tried that and all on your own come to the realization that that simply does not work, then you'll understand why it's good to teach a child to not point out other people's flaws so that nobody notices yours. Pointing out somebody else's flaws hides nothing about you, nor does it make you look any better. You are what you are, and it's up to you to be the kind of person you want people to admire and feel good about. It's not up to anyone else. So I'm going to open the lines early tonight because I really have some questions for Izzy, and I know he'll have some answers for me. I'm going to bring in Shelley. Hi, Shal.
Hey, Rainey, how are you doing?
I'm good, sweetie. How are you?
Doing real good.
That's good. I'm going to bring in Izzy.
Wonderful.
Hi, Izzy.
Hi, Rainey, and hi,
how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
That's good. That's good.
Hi, Izzy.
Hi, Shelby.
We're so happy to have you on tonight. I've talked about you to so many people in the last few days, and a lot of people, I mean, I know people will say to me, oh, yes, I get it, you're right and everything, but I was really thrilled by the way people looked at me and said, sure, that's much easier than trying to set down a whole bunch of ground rules. And then today when I spoke with Linda, you will love her. She is wonderful, and she really and truly gets it, and she understands that this has to, in order to stop it from happening, not fix it once it's happened, but to stop it from happening, we have to start very early. And she's concentrating on that preschool and then 7 and 8 year olds and all the way up to middle school. And she has some stories, of course, that she's already picked up on, and they were very interesting. So I'm excited to have her join us soon as well. And she lives in Melbourne, which is very close, and she would like to be a part of anything that we do here. So I'm happy to include her. And I've also been gotten in touch by an organization that has a television show that's interested in talking to us about doing something on their show. So just like we thought would happen, once we started talking, there's some people listening. So I'm very, very pleased.
That's exciting news.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think it will only get better and better because the news on the television, the news on the radio, the news on the internet continues to be sad and to say the least, very concerning about kids and the direction in which everybody is going. So I am pleased to say that I think we're probably going to make a difference. Now, Izzy, I have some questions, but I thought you might like to talk a little bit tonight first, and then I can ask you some questions, unless you'd like to do it the other way around.
I mean, do you have something you want me to talk about first?
Well,
I
would. The first thing that we talked last night, and I read another one of your papers, and it talked about the difference between criminal behavior and bullying. And, you know, it's funny, as much as we've talked about this, Shelley and I kind of, it amused us a little bit last night when we realized that in a lot of cases, some of the things we were talking about were no longer bullying. They were indeed acts of violence and criminal activity. So I would like you to address that so that everybody is on the same page, because very sadly, I think it kind of melts, one melts into the other, and they really are not the same, because one, our legal representation, our enforcers, can do something about, and one, they can't. So would you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. Now, the word bullying is very confusing, and it's caused more problems than it's caused good, because people talk about everything as bullying, all aggression, from eye-rolling to the Holocaust. How in the world can you compare eye-rolling with the Holocaust?
Yeah.
But it's all called bullying, and the purpose is to horrify people against bullying and to make us want to go on a crusade against bullying. So whenever we hear the word bullying, what's conjured up in our minds is this horrible, evil behavior that causes terrible destruction. But most of the things that it's being applied to are the ordinary kinds of things that happen among people, eye-rolling, rumors, name-calling. And then we want to go after these people doing ordinary behaviors as they're genocidal maniacs, and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the behaviors have names to them, and if we got rid of the word bullying and we spoke about the behavior that we're talking about, things would become a lot clearer.
Mm-hmm.
There are behaviors that are criminal, meaning people should be punished if they do them. And there are things
right.
that are nasty, but they're not criminal. We have to learn how to deal with them by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Rini, let's say you said something to me and I found it offensive. Should I call the police on you because I found it offensive? How can we have good relationships if whenever we do something to each other that gets the other person upset, the government gets involved? It's going to make us hate each other. So there are things that are negative, they're immoral, meaning we shouldn't do them, but if somebody does them to us, we should deal with the person directly. The person doesn't deserve to be punished for it. So things like assault and battery, you know, breaking somebody's nose, it's meaningless to call it bullying. Is it eye-rolling or is it the Holocaust? No, it's assault and battery, and the person should be punished for that. If I insulted you, that's protected by the First Amendment. If I say something that you find offensive, I didn't hurt you. You hurt yourself because it's up to you whether you're going to be upset by it. So if I said something you don't like and you upset yourself, should I get punished? That's not moral. And if I do get punished, I'm going to hate you because you got me punished. So there are things, most of the things that are called bullying are legal behaviors. They're negative, but they're legal. We shouldn't treat them like crimes. People should know how to deal with them by themselves. There are things that a person should not have to deal with by himself. If you break my nose, you should get arrested and tried for it, and you should pay, you know, compensate me for it.
How do you feel about, we talked about this last night a little bit, because we were both surprised when I read that article. I was like, gosh, I'm not separating them in my own head either. I mean, I know the difference, but I'm in that category of just not being a good person. And I realized that, you know, I know the difference most certainly, but I wasn't separating them, I'm being honest. So when I thought about the Bully movie, as a for instance, one of the children in this movie, they poke him with pencils and they trip him and things like that. Now, those acts are not as dangerous as punching him in the nose, like the one child that got punched in the nose in the playground and died from it. But they are laying your hands on someone else. Now, is that where the line should be drawn?
We also have to differentiate between children behavior and adult behavior.
Okay.
When adults do things physically to each other, it's more serious than if children do them to each other. Now, let's say we're kids and you're poking me.
Right.
Hopefully, I can deal with it by myself, by talking to you, or if I can learn how to deal with it by myself so that you stop poking me, fine. But if no matter what I do, you keep on poking me, that should not be acceptable. If you're poking me, you should get punished for it, or you should not be allowed on the bus or whatever, because you're not allowed to poke people against their will. But the first thing, I should learn how to deal with it by myself, and it works fine. If it doesn't work, then we should go the further step by going to the authorities.
Well, as for it, I'm going to go back to that movie. The child that they picked on and called fish face and everything, he grew into a relatively well-adjusted teenager, but he struggled a lot in the middle years. And they did poke him with pencils. And when he told his father, the father said, "How was school today?" "Well, it was all right. You know, I think they're just messing with me a little bit. You know, they poked me with a pencil a couple times." And dad said, "Well, you're not supposed to, you know, you don't need to tolerate that. You know, you got to stand up for yourself," the things parents always say. So if somebody stabs him with a pencil, not pokes him with a pencil, but stabs him with a pencil, and now he can't differentiate between being poked with a pencil and stabbed with a pencil because he's gotten confused over the information he gets from the different, the teachers and the mom and dad or whoever, how do we get through to that child so that he realizes, I mean, because sometimes when you're 15, by that time, if this isn't going on for a long time, you are incredibly confused. Am I right?
You can be confused. But as I said before, the first step should be for the person to try to make it stop by himself. The thing is, nobody's teaching them good ways to stop by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So first, let's teach kids how to deal with these things, how to make them stop.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't stop and they go to a higher level, then you can get the authorities involved, and kids should be punished if it was, you know, certain that they did something wrong. Now, if they do something wrong, there's also a matter of punishment. You know, how do you punish morally?
Right.
Most of the punishments that are given today are not moral, they're not rational, they have nothing to do with the crime.
Right.
But that's another matter. But first, let's teach kids how to deal with it. So this is what I would teach kids. Really, let's say you're poking me on the bus.
Okay.
Do you know what? Let's say you do it to me every time you see me. First of all, do you know why it's happening? How come you keep on poking me if it's bothering me? Why don't you stop?
Because everybody laughs when I do it. You know, I poke you with a pencil and everybody snickers and grins and everybody thinks I'm cool when I do it.
But the main reason is that I'm getting upset by it.
Well, you're getting upset, and that's part of the reason that the other kids think it's cool is because I'm getting you upset.
That's right. So I'm getting upset, which is reinforcing your behavior. The other kids laughing is reinforcing it. So the reason it keeps on happening is because I'm getting upset. Now, to me, I see it the other way around. To me, I think I'm getting upset because you're poking me. But when I work with people, I show them that it's really the other way around. The reason they keep on poking you is because you're getting upset. So first I have to teach you not to get upset by it, because that's what feeds it. But I'll also teach you how to deal with it, because, you know, you got to make
because
it stop.
Because who wants to get poked with a pencil?
That's right. So what I'll do is I'll talk to you. So, Rini, make believe we're on the bus and you're poking me.
Okay.
I'll ask you, Rini, are you mad at me?
No, this is just fun.
Okay, it's kind of fun for you, but it's not so much fun for me. Are you mad at me?
No, I don't like you.
Oh, how come?
Because you have a fish face, and then everybody laughs and thinks that's very funny.
But you're mad at me because I have a fish face.
Yeah.
You mean you don't want me to have a fish face?
I don't care.
Oh,
I just think it's fun to pick on you. Mhm.
Yeah, but are you mad at me?
No.
But, if you want to make fun of my fish face, that's okay. But when you poke me, it hurts.
You're a baby.
In what way?
Well, because, you know, this doesn't really hurt you. I didn't break the skin or anything. I'm just poking you, and take it like a man.
Okay. Is it okay if I do it to you?
Try it.
If it doesn't hurt, then I could. Okay. It's okay with you. You won't be mad at me if I do it to you?
I didn't say that. But you could try it if you dare.
Yeah, but I don't. But if it doesn't hurt, you won't be mad at me, right?
I don't know.
Uh-huh. But I'm trying to figure out why you want to do it to me, because I'm not mad at you. Are you mad at me?
No, I just don't like you.
Okay. But how come you want to poke me because you don't like me? Anyway.
Yeah, see, I don't know. A kid is liable to say anything, you know.
Yeah, but you'll probably stop poking me. You know, we're talking about it now. I'm asking why you're mad at me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What I do, the philosophy of the golden rule is that you treat the person like a friend, even if they're treating you like an enemy. So I tell myself, if you keep on poking me, you must have a very good reason. You must be mad at me. So I ask you, are you mad at me? If you're not mad at me, you'll realize you have no good reason to keep on poking me. You'll stop poking me.
Mm-hmm. And
if you are mad at me, It could be you poke me because you are mad at me. If you are mad at me, it means that you feel that you're my victim. I did something wrong to you, so you're mad at me, so you're doing this because you feel you're my victim.
Yeah,
so
I'm getting
even with you. Why you're mad at me, we'll discuss what happened, I'll apologize if appropriate, and you'll stop poking me.
Okay, now I have a question, because I'm in...
I'm listening to the two of you, and I have to say something. If somebody is tormenting another person, and then that person turns around and very calmly tries to reason with them, I can tell you right now, it's going to take the fun out of it, because they don't want to have to sit there and rationalize and give excuses for their bad behavior. It kind of takes the wind out of their sails, if you think about it.
Well, and that's what I was just going to say. But first I was going to say, if this has taken place on the bus, which obviously it is because that's where I do this, and that's where I get the most laughs and the most attention from everybody. So if I let him win at this particular point in time, then I'm going to lose face. And I don't want to do that. I want to make sure that I still have the upper hand. So I will go along with the fact that I'll probably leave him alone now. But during this initial confrontation where he's putting me in a seat that I'm uncomfortable in, I can't, and maybe I'm wrong, but I'm feeling like I would keep on bugging, and then I may change the subject or look at somebody else or start laughing about something. He'd see what a baby he is and turn to all my friends and do something. I'm just thinking to myself.
Probably won't poke him again.
Yeah, probably not.
Right. So you're going to
probably
save
not.
Face, because I saw what you were doing, and I agree with you. I think that's exactly what a kid would do. You're trying to save face, so you're going to continue verbally making fun of him, but you probably won't ever poke him again, because you don't want to go through the third degree.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to ask you another question. When I was talking to you, was I disrespecting you?
No. And that was
so
something else that made me feel uneasy, as if I put myself into kid mode.
Yeah, but the truth is you'd be making yourself feel uncomfortable because I'm being nice to you, I'm being reasonable, I'm not mad at you, I'm telling you I like you, you know, you're mad at me. So I'm not disrespecting you. I'm not making you look bad in front of people. In fact, I'm diffusing the situation. I'm not making you look bad. So you don't really feel that you have to save face because I didn't make you look bad. I just made you think, are you mad at me?
Well, you didn't make me look bad, but you made me look like I wasn't in charge. And if I'm feeling it, my friends are feeling it as well, I think. Again, I could be wrong. I've never done anything like this. But I do know that, to be honest with you, Izzy, that's how I handle people like you're teaching us to handle, teaching us to teach the kids to handle the people that are bugging them. That's really who I am. I'm that person that says, what's your problem with me? What did I do to you? I mean, I had to bring all of the upper echelons at my last job into a room, into their office, which was not my domain, and I had to confront all of them, and I did exactly that thing. So I get the gist of that. I'm just trying to think like a kid. And I will agree with the fact, of course, you know I believe in this, heart and soul, but I will agree with the fact that I'll probably leave this kid alone because he's more or less taken the fun out of it for me and made me feel like, you know, if that's really how he feels about me, I'm just going to stay away from him. And eventually we could be friends, you know, very possibly as we grow and mature a bit. But in the moment, in front of all the other kids, I'm going to be in a different place, I feel.
Now, by the way, Shelley, did you want to say anything? Because I don't mean to dominate the conversation.
No. So far, I'm kind of clicking with both of you. I understand where Rini's coming from because I've actually kind of seen that. And I also understand the dynamic that you are trying to demonstrate. And obviously, you know, like with Rini saying, the kid might try to save face or still be a little verbally obnoxious, but the bottom line is it's not going to have the same impact going forward, so it will provide the solution, and I get that. It was very clear.
Yeah, it is for me as well. I think I brought in Gary. Did I bring in Gary?
Yep, this is Gary.
Hi, Gary. I think you met Gary the other night.
Yes,
he
spoke to me last week.
Mm-hmm. He's joined in and wants to talk. Do you have something that you'd like to say about what's going on so far, Gary?
I'm going so back and forth with all of this. I mean, I mm-hmm. understand what he's saying, but I also think, I mean, has this ever been tested? Have you ever had kids that did this and it worked? I mean,
yes, he's got all kinds of letters from parents and things like that when I
that
first.
That actually works.
Yes, yes. And some of them even older, which always surprises me. Some of them, one of the boys, I think, or one of the girls was like 17. So, yes, and like I just said a couple minutes ago, it's always worked for me. It's always made me feel like I was in the seat of control. But it's not the same when you're a kid and all your friends are looking on. So that's the only reason I'm thinking to myself, in the moment, it may not look like it fixed anything, but in the long run, I think it will. But I thought of you tonight, Gary, so I'm glad you called, because one of the questions I wanted to ask Izzy, but first I'm going to let him finish these thoughts, and then I have a question that maybe will help you sort things out in your mind. So let's let Izzy finish with how he's telling us how to follow through on this, and then we'll ask that next question, okay?
That works.
The thing is, the biggest skeptics are adults because they
mm-hmm.
don't think kids can do this. It works
mm-hmm.
better than adults can imagine, and it works quicker
mm-hmm.
than adults can imagine. You also said something before about children and adults. They're not
mm-hmm.
different. No, we think they're different. The dynamics are absolutely the same between adults and children. Adults are not more mature when it comes to bullying than children are. But it also, to make my point, it also helps to show what people typically do. Let's say we're on the bus and you're poking me. I'm going to do what children typically do and see how you feel. Make believe you're poking me.
Okay,
poke.
I'm poking you in the back. Mm-hmm.
Stop poking me.
And then I poke you again.
Stop poking me. Leave me alone.
So then I poke you like three times real fast.
Stop,
and laugh.
I'm going to tell the bus driver on you. Leave me alone.
Okay,
no
so then I sit back for a minute, and I wait for you to turn around and sit down, and I poke you again.
Yeah, you're going to have a great time. And nobody's going to respect me because I'm getting upset and I look like a fool. The real reason you get poked on over and over again is not because you're not poking me because it's so much fun to poke me. You're doing it because it's so much fun to see me getting upset.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with all of this. I just am having I've been in so many scenarios with teenagers, and I mean they're so I don't even know the right word. But they're quick to even judge their best friend because they're so afraid that they might get in the hot seat that they want to keep making sure whoever is there right now, full attention stays on them. So it's tricky. I don't doubt that once we have a conversation like that, I'm going to leave you alone because now you've made me feel just a tad intimidated by your behavior because it was much more mature than mine, and I know that. And I'm probably going to leave you alone. But in the moment is what I'm talking about. In the moment with all those other kids around, the act of me saying, okay, I'm not going to poke you anymore, sorry, that ain't going to happen.
No, you're not going to say it. You'll just stop mm-hmm. doing it because it's no fun.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
And you'll realize you're not mad at me, so why should you keep on poking me?
Mm-hmm.
But if I treat you like a friend, you'll end up treating me back like a friend. I'm not making you look bad. I'm showing you respect in front of everybody. I'm asking you maturely, are you mad at me? I'm asking it sincerely. I'm not disrespecting you.
No, No.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. Again, this isn't a, you know, I really get into these characters, and I'm thinking like a kid, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't want my friends to think you are smarter, sharper, more in control than I am. And when you act that way, you most definitely are. And I'm going to be just a little bit afraid that you've shown me up in this particular confrontation, because you didn't whine, you didn't cry, you know, like you did the second time, you acted like, you know, you were in charge. And
yep.
I'm going to be afraid that my friends are going to pick up on that. So I'm probably going to try to change the subject really fast and move on to something else to dazzle them with my maturity.
All right.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. So, I think we're on the same page. We just look at things a little bit differently. And of course, we do have the male female thing going on. And sometimes I put a lot of extra emotion into things because I'm all female. could you explain the difference? Yeah.
If you could, I apologize, but I did
That's
want
okay,
to have
honey.
One clarification because I've heard a couple of comments that you made that other people have made and stuff like that. Izzy, if you could, I think I already know the difference here, but I would like to hear your explanation of it. Now, you just had the two scenarios. You had the one time where the kid was being poked and he got, you know, he got all upset, and, of course, that's the reaction that they're trying to elicit. And then the other time the kid was being poked and he turned around and very civilly and very respectfully was like, why are you doing that? Did I make you mad? Did I do something? It kind of, you know, like, and then
I just said, are you mad at me?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, but now there's a third scenario where a kid out of fear will act respectful, but is being timid at the same time. So he's not going off in hysterics, but you can still see that he's definitely not okay with the situation. He's being kind. He's trying to be polite to the people because he doesn't want to be poked. So he's not doing the hysterics, but he's also not taking control. I don't know if you understand the difference I'm going for here. And it's still very
obvious.
I
think what you're saying is the kid is trying to act mature and respond maturely, but he's afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and it's obvious that he's afraid.
Then it's not going to work.
Right.
If I'm afraid of you,
that was my thinking.
Yeah. If I'm afraid of you, you won. And since you won, when you're going to keep on doing to me what keeps me afraid of you? So when I turn to you, I have to do it without fear. No fear.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we don't realize that fear is what we feel towards enemies. So if I am afraid of you, I am treating you like you're my enemy, and you treat me back like an enemy. So I'm not afraid of you. I know you're not looking to send me to the hospital. You don't want to get into serious trouble. You probably don't hate me enough to want to send me to the hospital. You're just looking to annoy
right.
me. So once I realize that you're not really trying to injure me, I don't have to be afraid of you. Plus, if I know that what I'm doing is likely to work, then I'm not afraid of you. The
mm-hmm.
thing is, when I work with kids, I role play with them, I act it out with them, so they're already prepared, they know what to do, so they go less afraid because they have a pretty good chance of winning. They know what they're going to do and that it's likely to win, so they're not afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Right, they feel prepared, right.
Right, and all that makes perfect sense. There's no doubt about that.
Now, I'd like to tell you about a boy I worked with a couple of years ago, a 14-year-old boy, a freshman in high school. And he told me there's this big kid in school twice his size, and whenever he passes him in the hallway, he bumps into him. So my client was terrified of him. He avoided him. He would stay far away from him. I told him, stop being afraid. He's not going to hurt you. If he wanted to, he would have done it already. He's twice your size. Stop being afraid of him. So my client went back to school. He stopped avoiding the kid. And after 2 days, they became friends. They ended up being good friends.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you and I are boys in high school, maybe you like me. Maybe you want to see if you can be my friend. Are you going to come over and hug me and kiss me? We're boys. We're not going to do that.
Right.
You'll bump into me. If I'm afraid of you and I stay far away from you, nothing is going to develop. But if I'm not afraid of you, then we can start becoming friends. So it's important to teach kids not to be afraid. They're not going to hurt you.
Well, I have mixed emotions about that, too, after all the things I've read and all the things that I know about. But let me ask you this question, because I think this will help our friend Gary out a little bit. Could you explain the difference between, and you kind of did a little bit, but I want you to touch on it more. Could you explain the difference between feeling like a coward versus gaining control over the situation, your own destiny, so to speak? I think it's hard for some people to hear. I mean, when you do the role playing with me, and you talk very securely, and you sound, you know, no matter what you do, you sound like a grown up. And I've met young boys in particular who I don't know that they could articulate the way you do unless you gave them in your training the actual dialogue and everything and told them how to say it. I have spent a lot of time with my grandson Michael, and he has an awful time telling you anything about what happened except real short terms like, I hate them, they tried to kill me. There's nothing in between. So I think if we can talk about the way a young boy can do something and talk like you are able to talk, you know, and I guess if you work with them one-on-one, you can get them to that place. But to the people that we have listening right now, are there some words of wisdom that you can give them to make them have that tone and that relaxation? If they're afraid to say, don't you like me? What if the guy says, no, I don't like you at all?
No, that's not what I teach people to ask is, are you mad at me?
Just, are you mad at
not
me?
Not do you like me. I don't care if you like me, but are you mad at me? You're poking me. You must have a good reason. You must be mad at me.
Mm-hmm.
So I ask you, I call this a magic question. And by a magic question, I mean something pre-scripted that works like magic. Just ask the person, are you mad at me? Because usually when they do these things, there's no deep thinking process involved. They're just doing it for the heck of it. They don't even think. They just do it for the fun of it. So I make you think, why are you doing it? By asking you, are you mad at me? Now you have to think, are you mad at me? If you're not, you'll leave me alone. If you are, you'll tell me why. But if you're mad at me, it's not bullying, it's victim behavior. You know, this whole bullying psychology and language is a big mistake because they're really calling all aggression bullying. But the word aggression is not bullying behavior, it's victim behavior. It's revenge. When people do things in revenge, what they do is infinitely worse than whatever was done to them. You know, what happened to your grandson? There was some conflict over something worth $40, and your grandson didn't pay. So they got revenge, and they almost killed him. It wasn't bullying, it was revenge behavior, it was victim behavior. They felt they were your son's victims. And the rule is, you know, the rule is whenever you're angry, you feel like a victim, but you look like a bully. To the other person, you're a bully because you're angry at them, you're hostile. And when two people are angry with each other, and it doesn't matter if it's a couple angry with each other, parent and child, boss and employee, two friends, whenever two people are angry with each other, each one feels that they're the victim and the other one is the bully. And from their own point of view, each one of them is right. Bully and victim are not objective diagnoses. They're subjective experiences.
I have to say something about this. I'm sorry, Izzy, but I totally disagree. Bullying is bullying. You could label it different categories, but unless you're that kid that's being victimized by somebody, I don't know how to express it.
Yes, you do. You're doing fine.
And, An innocent kid, a kid, goes to school, wants to learn, tries to make friends, not doing anything wrong. Some kid comes up to him and starts harassing him, wants to go after him, has, why? Who cares? I mean, I don't know, just because of the way he looks, because of the way he acts, who knows? But that, the victim is being bullied by this guy, and the victim did nothing. The victim has, you know, I'm just...
That's right. You're right. Now,
so
the question
it's called
is,
bullying. It's bullying. And it might not be, you know, the Holocaust or whatever, but to that kid, being bullied might be the end of the world for him. That could be the worst thing that could ever happen to him.
You are absolutely right. And the reason why I do what I do is because nobody cares about these kids more than I do, and I have devoted my life to helping them. It's going to happen. There is no such thing as a world in which everybody's always nice to each other.
Mm-hmm.
That happens in heaven. Everybody's always nice to each other. But as long as you're alive, sometimes people are going to be mean to you, and you don't deserve it. Now, what do you do about it? It's going to happen. What do you do about it?
It depends on the situation. I mean, as an adult, I could handle bullying a lot better than when I was a kid. When I was a kid, I had no choice. I had no chance. I was attacked. I was outcasted by the whole school because a few kids didn't like me.
Oh.
I never did anything. They hated because I smiled all the time. They wanted to knock my teeth out for no reason. I mean, I feared my bullies. And not that they might not have done anything, but they were trying to get me to a point where I would stand up to myself because that would give them the motivation to knock the crap out of me.
That's right.
And, I mean, if I did what you're saying, if I stood up to them, well, are you mad at me? They would turn the tables around on me. They would make me look even more foolish. And it really wasn't fair. It's not fair. Something needs to be done. And, you know, I could stand up for myself as a kid, but it still isn't going to change the fact that this kid does not like me, has no reason not to like me. You know, it could have been jealousy. It could have been anything.
How long was this going on for you in school?
This went on, honestly, since probably the first grade.
Okay.
Wow.
All
in your
the way
whole
until high school. I lived
in your
small
whole school
country.
Career. In your whole school career, did anybody teach you how to deal with it?
My parents were. I mean, my mom was very supportive. She told me, you know, there was times when. I mean, I had to take care of it. I had to stand up to my bullies, and I was scared to death. But it still didn't. The more I...
My point is this was going on your whole school career, and nobody in school, no expert in school, taught you how to deal with it.
Nobody.
So you're going
to do
what comes naturally to you. I'm not blaming you. You did the best you knew how to do. You were struggling. You were suffering. You didn't know how to make it stop. You did the best you could, but I believe in teaching kids how to deal with it so that when it does happen to them, they nip it in the bud and they don't become victims of bullying.
Can you do something along the lines of what you do with me so that Gary could have some of those feelings?
Sure.
Some kind of
Gary,
a role-playing with Gary? Gary, would you be
sure.
up for that?
I love to role play, so I'm always up for it.
If I could get myself in the mode, I mean, if I'm the bully and I'm going by what the kids did to me, I probably could do that. I could probably.
Well, then.
Okay, so we're both kids, and do to me what they were doing to you.
It just depends. I mean,
we can't do physical pushing over the phone.
Yeah,
but
I know.
I'm sure they were doing verbal things to you.
Oh, very much so. I mean,
I
don't know how much we could say on here, but
you can say whatever you want to say.
Hey, you look.
Yeah,
bad.
You can say whatever
you know,
you want. Use profanity.
Yeah.
So we're kids, and say to me the kinds of things they were saying to you.
Okay.
But
hey,
the first time
faggot.
I'm going to do what comes naturally to a person. Go ahead.
Okay. First, you know, first, I mean, I would walk down the hallway. Hey, you little faggot.
I'm not a faggot.
Yeah, whatever.
Don't call me a faggot. I'm not a faggot.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not.
I'm sure if you were with some guy right now, you'd be all over him.
That is not true. I'm not a faggot. Don't call me a faggot.
Look at how you talk, man. Look how you talk.
I don't talk like
a
faggot.
You sound like one. Oh, yeah, you do.
I don't sound like a faggot. That's not true.
Check my friends,
like
man. Everybody is.
I'm not a faggot. Don't call me a faggot. You have no right to call me a faggot.
Okay.
Let me stop you. Gary.
Yeah.
Am I making you want to stop calling me a faggot? I stopped the role play. Was I making you want to stop calling me a faggot?
Possibly, yes. To some degree,
you kept on doing it.
Yeah.
And you were laughing.
Well,
did you notice that
care.
You were laughing?
They did not care. It was a joke to them.
That's right, but even in this role play, you were laughing. I heard you laughing. You had a great time. Now we're going to do it again. Call me faggot again. Start all over again.
Oh, okay. Okay. Hey, faggot.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
Yeah, whatever, dude. What are you trying to do? Come on to me?
Why would I want to do that?
I don't know, man. You're gay.
Oh, you think I'm gay?
No. You're talking to me. Trying to come on to me. Wait until I tell my friends. Yeah, wait until I tell my friends you're all coming on to me and shit.
You think I'm coming on to you?
Oh, yeah. I don't blame you.
Yeah, I maybe a gay person would want to come on to you.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
But why are you coming on to me?
You think I'm coming on to you?
Oh, yeah.
Why do you think I'm coming on to you?
Just the way you're talking to me, the way you're looking at me.
I kind of thought that you were the one who started. Weren't you the one who started with me?
Nope. I think you started this whole thing. You make me uncomfortable. Can't walk down the hallway without you checking me out.
But you're the one who came on to me.
Oh, come on. Let's go to the principal and talk to her about it. I'll tell her. You know, I'll tell my friends. They're going to kick your ass for coming on to me in the hallways.
To me, it seemed like you were coming on to me. You were the one.
Yeah,
well,
nobody's going
to
listen to you, buddy. I've got the people backing me up. People all know you're a fag at school, so.
Yeah, you know, Gary, some people think I'm gay.
A lot of people think you're gay.
Yeah. No, I'm not the most macho guy in the world.
Yeah, well, I see you checking me out every time I walk past you. And now you're trying to talk to me?
You were the one who was talking to me.
Whatever, dude.
Okay.
But, I mean, that's really how it went with me in school. It's like nothing I did.
Yeah,
they
but
the, turned
did you
the
notice
tables
that,
on me.
Did you notice that you were having no fun the second time? You weren't laughing. Of the two of us, who came across as the loser? Now, you may not be sure, but we can ask Renee and Shelley which one of us sounded like the loser.
Well, the second time, I want to say that Gary was using words, but he sounded a lot less sure of himself the second time.
Right.
The second time, he was saying things because you were standing there,
mm-hmm.
and you actually had him stopped, but he was saving face like all teenagers do. But the anger and the the slam in him that was there in the beginning wasn't there the second time when you turned things around. He felt more uncomfortable the second time saying those things to you. That's how it sounded to me.
I did sense that.
mm-hmm.
Plus, the second time, I wasn't putting him down in any way. I wasn't saying, you're wrong, I'm not gay. I'm saying, some people think I'm gay. So I'm making you sound kind of normal. You know, you like a lot of people who think I'm gay, but I'm not blaming you. I'm not saying you shouldn't do this to me. I'm doing nothing against you. so you don't have any real reason to be hostile towards me. But
mm-hmm.
if I say, I'm not gay, don't call me gay, then you know, I'm being hostile towards you, so you're going to want to be hostile back towards me, too.
So
instead
Izzy,
of getting angry...
Izzy, how would you have handled that conversation if you were gay, though?
Okay,
so
now let's say I'm gay and I'm out of the closet,
mm-hmm.
or I'm gay but I don't want to admit it.
Actually, both scenarios are interesting to explore. You know, you have somebody who's gay but they don't want anybody to know, and then you have somebody that's admittedly gay and they're being torn apart because they've made it common knowledge.
Okay.
Well, I don't think he said anything the second time that denied being gay. The only thing he did say was, there are people that think I'm gay. He didn't say they're wrong, they're right. I don't care what they say. He didn't say any of those things. He left it open, which was a little bit more classy than saying, you're right, or you're wrong, or I don't care what you think. He still made Gary feel uncomfortable once he said what he said.
Mm-hmm, right.
And Gary, that's why I wanted you to role play, because the other night when I did this with Izzy, I really get into it. And when he turned the tables on me and was more respectful of me being his, he was a teenage girl and I was the dad, and I was upset with her because I'm worried about her. And when she talked to me with more respect and more love, I couldn't yell at her anymore. I mean, even in the role that I was in, I couldn't even think of things to say because I was thinking, this is my kid, I love her, she loves me back. And it stopped me in my tracks. And I wanted you to have that feeling so you would understand on a different level why this can work.
Mm-hmm.
Did it make any sense to you?
It does. The only thing I have to say is, how did Izzy feel about the way I treated him, though? I mean, did it see, because my thing was, it psychologically messed me up, even if I did stand up to the kid and treated him with respect. Psychologically, what he was saying to me, how the whole school's going to turn against me and how he's going to go to the principal and say I was doing something to him, how he
mm-hmm.
turned the tables around, that's
mm-hmm.
where I got messed up, because they turned the tables around on me, and even though I might have been, be able to handle the situation at the time, it still mm-hmm. psychologically messed with my head.
It stays with you. Because
yeah,
he made you feel guilty.
Maybe I
that's
did
why.
Freaking look
yes.
at him the wrong way. Or
yeah, but he made you feel guilty.
Gary, you have to realize you were going through this for many years, and you
yeah.
did the best that you could, but no professional sat with you and help you understand what's really going on, how to deal with it. You were doing it on your own, and it made you feel bad, which is
mm-hmm.
why I continued for so long, but nobody taught you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And today in schools, kids are being taught the wrong thing. They're being taught nobody's allowed to disrespect you in any way. So they're teaching kids they should get upset when it happens to them. And so they get more upset, and when they get upset, it happens even more to them. They get bullied. The kids
mm-hmm.
are being given the wrong message today, which is why bullying is becoming an epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
They're being taught the wrong things to do. They should get upset. They should not tolerate anybody disrespecting them for any reason. But that's the wrong message.
But isn't it
50-50?
Mm-hmm.
Can it be 50-50 where we want to educate students to have more tolerance, to not go after people because they're
different? Oh, that's
right. I mean, I see your way, but I also think, you know, it's important that schools do educate students and teach them tolerance and how to accept people and, you know, just not say things to people.
Honey, let me say one thing that I think you're not thinking about.
Okay.
By doing this, by taking care of the obvious, I'm going to say the word victim because I can't think of what else to call, the person that's being bullied, to start there, what that really does in actuality is it has a major domino effect. Because who's
mm-hmm.
picking on you, mark my words, somebody's picking on him. So as we work from where we can get into that big long row of dominoes, wherever we can slide in and get the information to whomever, it will have a domino effect, and it will work for the guy that bullied you. It will have an effect on him, just like it did just now. The feelings that you had just now, when you turn around and say that to the person that's bullying you, perhaps at home, maybe it's dad, maybe it's mom, maybe it's an older brother, maybe it's an uncle, maybe it's your next door neighbor that you've lived next to for 15 years who picks on you and rides you and does this to you, and you do the same thing to him. Do you see where I'm going?
Mm-hmm.
So you are teaching the bully not to be a bully, but you are also teaching the one at the end of that row of dominoes to turn back around and knock everything the other way.
I think.
Rini, you're so right. Now, can you imagine what it's like when you're being mean to people, but everybody's nice back to you?
I know.
You feel like a fool being mean, but now you also are happier because people are being nice to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, it's obvious.
You know, when I was very, very young, I waited on table in a place where we had all these little old ladies and little old men, and they would come in, and all the other waitresses would run and hide. And they'd say, give them to Rini, because they'd be so mean, and they'd be so difficult to deal with. And at the end of a week's time, if they came in two or three times a week, I would have them won over. And everybody would say to me, how much money did they leave you? And I'd say, $3. They've never left me more than 50 cents. And I said, well, I'm nice to them. I didn't let them run all over me. But I was a professional and treated them like they wanted to be treated, like I want to be treated.
Yep.
So for me, this I never had anything make more sense to me in my whole life than this.
And I do have to say one thing. There is a difference between, and Gary, don't take this the wrong way, because I have absolute respect for you. I think you're a very kind man. I think that after everything you went through, you grew up into an adult who has a tremendous amount of compassion and strength. So I applaud you for that. But I do want to make one comment, and I want you to try and think about this, and then maybe we can talk about it again in a future show. But there is a difference between standing up to somebody because you feel like you're being treated badly by them and turning the tables on someone.
Mm-hmm.
All right? You're like treating them like you're nonchalant, like you're not being bothered by what they just said to you. And I think the issue is that you were very much bothered by what they were saying to you, and even though you were polite back, it was obvious that you were being upset by what they said. And that's kind of what, you know, like kept it going, because it was obviously hurting your feelings. You know,
well,
it was bothering you.
It was just numerous kids, so that's where it was difficult for me. It's just, it was a lot of kids in that school.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
It was like everybody would just look
how
down.
How old are you, honey? How
right
old
now?
Are you now?
47.
47. So you're just, you're like 2 years older than my Spike, my oldest son. And my kids had a friend who I knew was gay by the time he was four. And he didn't share that with anybody, and I never said anything to his mother or to anybody else until he was like 14. And he had a hell of a time. And my kids loved him, but other kids gave him a really awful time. That was a long time ago, and mm-hmm. things have changed since then. Not that they've always changed for the better, but they are a little bit better, I think, for kids being themselves now than they used to be. The show is almost over. I want to thank everybody. It was an awesome show tonight. Gary, I so hope this made you feel a little bit better. And you can call me and we can talk about it later whenever you want to, or we can message each other. Izzy, you are Izzy the awesome. I think you rock. I think that everything you do and say is such a voice of reason that I am just thrilled that we've connected. And, of course, my Shelley, I love you to death. And we will, tomorrow night I have a young man who's involved in politics, and he's been on the show before, and somebody put a restraining order against him yesterday, so he needs to talk. So we will all talk again. I love you all from my heart to yours. This is Renee. Good night. God bless, and I love you all. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.